Hi, Emery friends.
Hi.
So as I just sat down to record this, they started construction, of course. There's a lot of hammering going on. There may be background noises, and it's possible that I may not share this if the background noise is too loud. But I am feeling the desire to share with you, so I'm going to honor that. In fact, I've been trying to do that more and more, realizing that what is coming up through me, through my body, through my mind, honoring it really. And whether or not it is certain feelings and being present with those feelings or a desire to share or some thoughts that I feel like I really just need to get out. Thank you for being a beautiful outlet for that. I hope it finds you in service of your life as well. So this is what's happening for me today. This is going to be a solo episode. We'll see how long it goes. I've shared a little bit more on Instagram recently after going through the last couple of weeks, or I'll be honest, probably months since Kyle left for Oregon, have been really challenging for me personally, for Kyle and I. Just honoring that transition. And so the reason that I shared that emotional video with you on Instagram, if you didn't see it, it started out with me being in a very emotional state and talking about attachment ruptures. So I feel like my medicine is catching things in the moment, like really catching that and sharing it. Because let's be honest, I could tell you how I move through things. You know, I could just go through step by step, but I don't think it's going to be as impactful as you seeing me in a certain state and feeling it resonate within you, and then allowing you to tap into your own wisdom in that space, your own nervous system. I think it is honestly teaching at a whole new level. You know, if you've listened to Emery podcast for a while, you might know that I have a lot of thoughts around our systems of education, but there is a method to my madness. I share on purpose. I share on purpose, and I know I share vulnerably, and I'm okay with that. I try not to share from a triggered state. And I know that the last video I shared around the attachment rupture is right on the border, right? So my nervous system obviously triggered enough that I'm like crying. And I have my parent adult self, my loving witness, holding me. I'm holding me in my emotions. And in that way, I felt and I feel safe. So that is a place where I'm willing to share with you openly. What I'm not willing to do is be in a triggered state and then share from that where I'm not able to be present or have my parent self or my higher self, the loving witness, be present. Because in that state where I am not safe for me, right? If my nervous system is not regulated, I will not be safe for you and or for anyone that I'm around. So I am reaching another level of being responsible for my nervous system. I've gone through this again and again. I've shared about it, and I'm noticing, and I want to give myself some kudos for really being finely attuned to where my nervous system is at. And if I start to get dysregulated, I don't get like way down the road, you know, an hour or two into it. I start to notice within minutes if I'm dysregulated, and then I have practices that I do to help me regulate my nervous system. Why do I share this? I share this because if you are stepping into an open relationship, or if you're practicing polyamory, heck, if you are a human being, you're going to face situations where your nervous system gets really dysregulated. Why? Because you feel unsafe in those moments. Now, it could be a legit fear, like a fear of heights, and you're standing close to a cliff. Obviously, your system's going to be dysregulated there. But it also could be a mental state, an emotional state where you're not feeling safe in yourself. So the more tools that we have at our disposal, the more mental framework that we have to say, I am responsible for this body. I am responsible for the words that come out of this mouth. I am responsible for this nervous system and the way it's going to impact the people I love, especially, you know, but the people around me in general. So in this episode, I'm going to update you with where I'm at with Kyle, with Marty, with my kids, with everything, with me personally. I'm going to share more about nervous system regulation, and I'm going to wrap that into a conversation around boundaries and how to truly use boundaries in a way that probably most of us didn't grow up learning. I think that's probably safe to say. Okay, so the update. I am going to visit Kyle in, where are we going? Sedona in Arizona in October. So we've had that planned for months. We have another trip. So Kyle's going to come down here for the retreat in Costa Rica in November, by the way. A little plug for that. We still got some spaces left, so come join us. Super excited about that and about Jolie being here and all the people. So link in the bio if you want more info with that. So Kyle will be here in November, and we're not sure about December and beyond that, but we purposefully created a space over the last couple months where we weren't seeing each other so that each of us could settle into this new life, this new rhythm, and this new relationship. And I guess the benefit of being polyamorous is that there's no need for a breakup. Like, there's no need to end a relationship. There is a need for the skills about how to transition and allow for the transformation of a current existing relationship. You guys, that second option, I feel like, is harder than the first one because a breakup might be hard and it might leave you wounded. And we were talking about attachment ruptures. It leaves this like open-ended energetic tentacles out there of like, oh God, I'm gonna pull that back. But in some ways, that's like the safe way. We pull back and we don't have to do the work to reconnect. And it is that doing the work to reconnect with someone that you care about, there's work in there. There's legit work, and that work is healing work. So I feel like when we just have a clean breakup with someone, we pull back and we're like, sweet, that was that person's problem. Never gonna have to deal with that again. I'm not talking about the relationships that you decide to end, and you own all of your stuff and you leave from a very empowered state where you're like, hey, I love this person. I have loved this person. We are finding the end of our time together, and we're both making this a mutual decision to go separate ways. That you're kind of using your nervous system. You're like walking with your nervous system along the way to consciously separate. But the other way, just the breakup, leaves your nervous system really jacked. It really does. And it doesn't necessarily give us a way to heal old wounds that maybe came up and maybe why we are breaking up with that person. So I say all this because this is the first time for me in my experience of practicing polyamory that I've had to go through a relationship transition this big. It was funny. I shared something recently on Instagram, and I think it was that post with Kyle, and someone said, oh, it's good to know even the pros have like difficulties. And I'm like, who are they talking about? A pro. I consider myself a fellow journeyer on this crazy expedition that we call open relating. And I'm just someone that's willing to share about it. So I think I'm not quite sure where pro level happens. Don't know. Wouldn't even know how to qualify that. What I can say is I'm somebody that's willing to share all the trials and tribulations, and going through this transition has definitely made me work for it, you guys. Oh, it's made me work for it. And I'm grateful. I really am. So what I talked about in my Instagram post recently was just the need for me to have to recognize actually that I was not a safe place for Kyle to share information with around his new partner. Now I know her. We've hung out together before she left. She was living here in Costa Rica. I thought I had done all the work. I was like, sweet, we're good. I'm good. It's going to be great. So there you go, setting my own expectations up. What I now know is that even though my mind was on board, my body wasn't. And I think that can happen a lot. I think that we can have all the wisdom up here in our head, but that long journey into the body, which I would call embodied wisdom, embodied knowledge, that is where our habits come from. This is where our reactions live. It's all in the body, you guys. Conscious brain is like maybe 5% of leading our life. The 95% is in our body, and that we are not as not conscious or not as conscious of. And it takes some work. So I have recognized that I have a nervous system that needs time to adjust to this new information. And that's okay. It's a big transition. I don't know. I guess I'm letting go of this version of myself that's like, I have to experience compersion. That have to, that should, not of service for where I am currently at. So I believe I will get there. I believe that once I'm able to process this change and settle into a new rhythm and feel safe in myself and the relationship and all the things, I'll get there. Like I know that I will. I think it's just giving myself grace and time. And I want you to be able to do the same thing for yourself. If you are shooting on yourself, like I shouldn't feel this, how I feel about my metamor or about what my partner is doing or the partners he's picking or whatever it is, or I should be best friends with my metamor. I've had to work through that with Marty's partner. And it's taken me a while. I'm at a really great space right now, but I came into this thinking, I'm going to be best friends with her. And we're not, you know, we're different people. And I'm totally okay with that. I'm going to talk more about that in the boundaries part later on, about what I had to do to create healthy personal and relational boundaries so that I could be in a really compersive state. Because right now, Marty and his partner are in Greece and he's speaking at a conference. He already spoke at the conference around the work that he's doing. I'm super happy and proud of him. And I'm happy that they get to enjoy a vacation and like be together and explore new things. I actually do feel like I'm in a very big state of compersion with Marty and his partner in Greece. So yeah, I see that I'm capable of that, very capable. Okay, where was I at? Giving myself space and time to feel what I feel, to process what I feel, and to allow the feeling of compersion to arise organically without force. And I want the same thing for you. I also want to honor the work that's required that I'm doing currently or that you may be doing in order for you to allow for the feelings that you are feeling. Ah, this is the work. This is like the bulk. I would say a large majority of the self-love work that I do or the self-love program is really about increasing awareness, checking in with the body to even see what sensations are there, understanding the feelings that are there, understanding what needs and wants are underlying those particular feelings, working with the adult self, the loving witness, to meet the part that wants that need to be met or feels like it can't be met, working all these parts to integrate. And yeah, I mean, that is healing work. It really is. So all of the work that you're doing, that you are confronted with, all of the obstacles, like I know there's a book called The Obstacle is the Way. For real, the obstacle is the way. If you choose it, if you step into it, if you stop being the victim of the obstacle, which is a loss of power right away, if you choose the circumstance that you are in, like this is it, legit, this is the circumstance, the situation of my life currently, I choose it. That's pretty empowering. And I choose it and I choose me in how I am showing up in that. I choose all the feelings that are arising through my body. I choose the thoughts going through my head. I choose it. Now, do I have to overly identify with all of those? No, no. This is where the muscle that we flex is the loving witness, to say, part of me is feeling this way. My body might be feeling this. My mind might have these thoughts, and I can be the observer of this. I can be the witness. I can understand that all of this is information that I can then use to either just allow the feeling to pass, take the information, check my thoughts. Are they empowering? Have I blamed someone? How do I shift out of that thought loop? That's heavy lifting, you guys. It's heavy lifting, for real. Like, this is the work that is truly healing the world. It is not small. And this is where I am currently doing the work inside of me to say, this work that I've done inside of me and the work that I support others to do for a better relationship with themselves is life-changing. It is beyond valuable. It affects everything, every part of our life, every relationship. It affects the world, the fucking world. Owning that, owning it right now. That's currently the self-worth work that I'm doing, is allowing myself to share and to be in my knowing and trust that what it is that I'm sharing is of high value, high value. And I see the impact that I have when I work with clients one-on-one or as they go through my group programs. Luckily, most people, like, I work myself out of a job, which I love. I love the feeling of like, sweet, Megan, got it. Like, I'm working on it. I can feel my nervous system. I know what I need and want based on the feelings that I'm feeling. I know how to shift my thoughts. Like, I know how to communicate with my partner from an empowered state. Like, sweet. All right. I got this. You know, then there's always more challenges. And then we hit our next level of growth. So I'm not quite sure if this game ever ends. I don't think so. Okay. I digress. Where am I at? Why am I recording this? I'm recording this to honor the work that I'm currently doing in my relationships with myself, to honor the work that I do with other people around the world, to honor you for the work you're doing so that you feel seen, so that you know that you're not crazy if you're like completely fatigued sometimes by the work that you're doing. It's okay. It's understandable. So I'm going to give you a couple pointers and using the tool of boundaries. The deeper I go in this topic, the more that I realized, first, it's laughable how I never learned about it before, and how kind of how little framework or language there is around understanding what boundaries are and how to use them. So I'm going to start there. What are boundaries and how do we use them? I love the quote by Prentice Hemphill. And Prentice says, the boundaries are the distance at which I can love you and me simultaneously. Let that sink in. Boundaries are the distance at which I can love you and me simultaneously. Thank you, Prentice. They hit the nail on the head. And notice the key word in there. It's love. It's love. It's love. Boundaries are used in love. Boundaries are used in the service of love. Boundaries are used to maintain a loving relationship. Right? Boundaries are not used to force someone to do something that you want, or, you know, boundaries are not used by someone else to force you to do something that you do not want. Boundaries are not used on other people. Point blank. That is then a rule or a forced agreement. Boundaries are your full accountability of where you put your physical body, the thoughts you allow yourself to think, the emotions and your emotional state, and I'm going to add in there your nervous system. Boundaries are used in service of you, maintaining you to be the person that you want to be. And sometimes we can't be that person that we want to be. So for example, in my relationship with Kyle right now, I'm not a great space holder for him and his new relationship. I can't contain that information here in a safe way. So I have taken on full accountability, full first self-awareness, second full accountability to say, I can't show up how I want to show up for me, how I want to show up for you, and how I want to show up in our relationship if you share some of that information right now. So the boundary that I've created is that I am not willing to receive that information at this current point in time. So what does that mean? Am I forcing him to not share that information with me? No, I'm not forcing him. I'm saying, I have a request to please don't share that information with me right now because I can't show up how I want to. He then has an option of opting into that to say, I see the boundary that you're wishing to create. I honor that. And I will create that new agreement with you of saying, we don't talk about this right now. And, you know, we'll see. I'm going to talk to him about everything in, when we're in person, because I feel like I can co-regulate better. We can co-regulate better when we're in person, when our nervous systems and bodies are actually in the same physical space. that seems like a safer place for me to start receiving some information and really working together to say, how does this feel? Can we work on this? So that is our current time frame on that particular boundary. But you see that it is something that I created so that I could love him and me at the same time. I could love him and me at the same time. So other places where I use boundaries, that is, where do I put this physical body? Am I going to put it around people that I feel like maybe my energy is really drained after I interact with them, or I don't necessarily receive a lot in the relationship, or at worst case scenario, you know, I'm receiving a lot of other people's dysregulation and anger or blame or shame. That is a really good place to institute boundaries. And the way that that shows up is, I am no longer willing to put this physical body in that space anymore with that person, with that group, doing that thing, whatever it is. Like, that is full accountability around our physical boundaries. I'm no longer willing to put this body in that situation. Why? I love this body too much, and I recognize that it dysregulates my nervous system. And so you can do two things there. I highly recommend that you don't blame that person or circumstance for you being dysregulated. That is a loss of power right there. You know, what you need to own, what you can own, I don't want to force you, I'm going to invite you, what you can own is an awareness of, when I put my body in those physical spaces with those people, this body, my body, gets dysregulated. And if I am dysregulated, I am likely to fill in the blank, yell at other people, be avoidant and pull back so they feel like they're rejected. I don't know. The words like spit venom come out of my mouth. That's what I experienced in my one conversation where I realized with Kyle, I was not a safe place. I'm like, ooh, that was rough. I do not want to do that anymore. So being fully accountable for when we are dysregulated, when this goes back to my first comment, when we are feeling unsafe, we are unsafe for other people in our life. That merits saying it one more time. When we feel unsafe, when your nervous system is in fight, flight, freeze, or fawn, you have become unsafe for other people. Now, I don't mean that in a malicious way. I just mean that you are no longer present. Your subconscious is present and you are reacting. You are in survival mode. Even if you wanted to behave a different way, like up here, you're like, but I don't want to be like this. I have other thoughts that are up here. Why can't I do those things? It's just owning that your nervous system, your body, isn't there yet. It needs some work. And there's probably part of you that feels unsafe, and that's okay. Do not blame or shame yourself if part of you is feeling unsafe. And notice I said part. It's not you. It's part of you. It's most likely a part of you from the past that maybe experienced some trauma in a relationship. It's part of you that legitimately wasn't safe physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually in an interaction. And so a part of you has said, oh no, we're not doing that again. Like, don't do that. This is going to be a red flag. If that situation happens, I'm going to block it. And I'm going to notify this body to say, this is unsafe. Get out, get out, get out. A lot of that is old programming, right? It's old beliefs. It's old. It's just old. And what I'm realizing is that we need to purge old beliefs. We need to maintain this system. This nervous system needs to be maintained and it needs to purge. This is why I think ayahuasca is so powerful, because there is a purging, a physical purging, and I think a mental, emotional, and spiritual purging that is created. It's also why I like using psychedelic mushrooms, psilocybin, because I feel like that actually is like a cleaning out of the nervous system in a much more gentle way. Actually, it's my preferred way. I've done ayahuasca once and I'm like, I will do it again, I'm sure. And at this moment, I have found quarterly use of psilocybin is really helpful for me to clear out my nervous system. What frequently occurs is like these gentle insights of like, oh, Megan, you don't need to be afraid of that anymore. Like, oh, just, it's these beautiful rolling insights, usually accompanied by like really beautiful situations. By the way, this is an optional experience on the retreat. If you have not tried psilocybin or want to, or if you tried it before and you know you like it, it is an experience that we are coordinating for the retreat. So come join us for that. Yeah, so I really like cleaning out my nervous system. There are other ways besides using ayahuasca and psilocybin. A really simple way, and I will share a link in the video here, link in this in the show notes, of simple bouncing, like bouncing. And you have your, for anybody watching this, I'm gonna just do it a little bit. I'm still sitting down, but you can see my shoulders just kind of like totally relax. And when you can get as much of your body to relax as possible while you're bouncing on your heels and let the vibration of your heels hitting the ground bounce your whole body, do that for 5 minutes. Like seriously, you can do it, pause it right now, do it for 5 minutes and you'll feel the tingling in your body after that. I highly recommend doing that if you are dysregulated. It is one of the quickest ways to reset your nervous system. It is a somatic release. I literally just did that this morning because I had a situation come up. I noticed within a minute or two, I'm like, oop, I'm dysregulated. And I have these practices that I go to. I bounced, I danced a little bit. I did some breathing, some box breathing with it while I was doing all this. And it maybe within 10, 15 minutes, my system had settled again. So yay, Megan, good job for practicing what you preach. Sometimes I'm quicker than others to notice a dysregulated nervous system. So, okay, where am I at? Boundaries. Being accountable for your nervous system, having your own techniques to go to. Boundaries are for you to own and be accountable for where you're putting your physical body. What thoughts you think. Actually, this is a really good one. Sometimes I use my body to reset my mind, and sometimes I can use my mind to reset my body. So for example, what I just shared about the bouncing, it was actually my mind noticed like, ding, 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 you are dysregulated. You need to do your practices to regulate yourself again. So that's my mind holding a safe space for my body. You know, notice I didn't blame or shame myself to say, why are you freaking out about this? It was like, nope, my mind is online. I've trained it very well. No judgment. I do my practices. So that is my mind in support of my body. Sometimes though, you guys know when you get stuck in thought loops, like, oh God, I remember when Marty first started dating, that was a really big moment for me. And I would notice like, my mind is going crazy, like just going crazy. And I couldn't quote unquote control it. It just literally had a mind of its own, all these thoughts. And so in those times, I would go back and use my body to shift my mind again. It's kind of the same. It's the same way, right? I guess it's the same thing, is noticing, okay, I'm not liking my mental space. What can I do to shift it? And so the body practices, like I would go for a run. I would in those states, I would usually have to really work out my body hard to get the mental release I was going for. I also do a lot of exercises, specifically with the people that I coach, around planting a flag in the trigger thought. So a trigger thought would be, if you're like, imagine you're on a train going down a train track. These are like our thoughts, right? It's a well-worn thought path. It just is. 95% of the thoughts that you're going to think today, you thought yesterday, probably higher. So we're on these train tracks of thought. We're not really conscious of them. So most of the time you can be on this track and you know where the track is going to take you. The track is going to take you down that thought loop that then hijacks your body. And then you're in this thought feeling, like downward doom spiral. You know what I'm talking about. So I like to plant a flag in the trigger thought. So it's usually an old belief, right? Like, I'm not good enough. My partner's going to leave me because of XYZ. I'll be rejected. I'll be abandoned. I'm going to grow old alone. They're so much better. The new partner's so much better than me. I mean, fill in the blank. Like I know that these are the common ones and what I've experienced. You might experience other ones. So if you can plant a flag in that thought, Celebrate yourself if you notice yourself thinking that thought. This is the first, like, we're talking about that train that's on the track. As soon as you plant that flag, and when you see that flag and you recognize it and you celebrate yourself for being aware that you thought that thought, guess what you just did? You just did like a 1 degree difference in that thought path. Now, imagine you're actually on a train and you shift 1 degree. It's not going to be a lot. Like, you're laying down new tracks, right? And you just take one new track and you go 1 degree like that. In a minute, it's not going to make that much difference. In 10 minutes, you know, you'll be farther away. In an hour, you're going to be, you know, a couple hours, you could be in like another state if you're on a train in real life. You know, that 1 degree is huge. It's huge. And it's the heavy lifting, right? That heavy lifting in the moment to say, I thought that thought. Oh yeah, celebrate. This is no longer a thought I'm willing to think. Boundary. That's how you use a mental boundary for yourself. I am no longer willing to think this thought. By the way, anger is a really good catalyst energy to work with yourself. Not that you blame or shame yourself. That would look like, I can't believe I thought that again. Blah, 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 I'm a fuck up. Like, you go down that, that's on the shame and blame trajectory path. You're still on the same one. But if you use anger to say, I am no longer willing to think that thought anymore. I refuse. I'm not going to think that thought anymore. I'm going to think this one. And you go 1 degree difference. I'm not asking you to think of a whole entirely new thought. Like, if you get stuck at the, I hate myself, I'm not going to ask you to say, I love myself. That would be like asking you to jump to a mountain miles away. It's just not possible. And even if you said it out loud, your brain would be like, fuck that. I totally don't love myself. So what the 1 degree difference is, finding a thought that you can think that feels true in your body. This is the key. It has to feel true in your body, right? So if you're thinking, my partner's going to leave me because that person that he's out on a date with, or his new partner, is better than me, or I'm not good enough. All right. I'm going to leave a moment here, in case this is one that you deal with, to say, what is 1 degree different? What is one thought that you could think that is slightly different in the direction that you want to head? Do you have it? Did you think a thought and did you go like, fuck yeah, no, that doesn't feel true. So what does feel true to you? This is the key. It has to feel true to you. So let's say you think, I'm not good enough. You could think the thought, I am noticing the areas where I can love myself more. I'm just noticing them. I'm noticing this. That's a new thought. Instead of, I'm not good enough, I hate myself, I'm noticing where I do that. That's it. That's all you have to do. Observe. And a new thought. I'm noticing I do that. Cool. And then the next thought might be, I'm noticing that I'm doing that and I'm open to a new way of relating to myself. All you have to be is open. You're not even saying that you're currently relating to yourself in a loving way in that moment. I'm open to relating to myself in a new way. Now, these are my words. So I would say, don't use my words. You have to use your words. You have to use what works for you, which means you actually got to do the work. Can't, that's it. Like, you got to do the work. So I'm here for you. I'm here for anyone that says, hell yeah, I'm ready to do this work. Like, I'm ready. I will show up for you. I will show up for you. I am here for you. You got to choose you first. And I know that that is the heavy lifting in the moment too. Lots of heavy lifting. I keep saying that. At least for me, it feels heavy when I'm actually doing the work. So I know I am, because this morning I told you I went through a dysregulated state. I did the practices that I told you about, the jumping, a little dancing, and then I went to the mirror and I had a, like a level of frustration still in my body where I was like, okay, Megan, seriously, you can do this. You're going to show up for yourself. I'm here for you. I'm looking at myself in the mirror saying, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. That practice is within the last year. I don't think I ever thought of even looking at myself and saying, I'm here for you. What a novel thought. It feels so good. Usually when I say that, I cry. I just like the tears come up. I'm like, I am here for me. Oh, that feels so good. I'm like crying thinking about it. I am here for me. What a great relationship that is. Like, beautiful. This is the primary relationship that I have been seeking my entire life. The benefit is I have this primary relationship with me, and I have a beautiful relationship with Marty, and I have a beautiful relationship with Kyle, and I'm connecting with new people and finding ways to relate and with them as well. So, oh, like what a powerful and incredible life this is. And there's still a mountain ahead of me. There is. So it's like one step. I have big aspirations. I have a desire to bring these skills and tools and way of looking at the way that we relate to ourselves and others. Like, I want to shout this from the rooftops, just like I wanted to shout my polyamorous experience from the rooftops when I started Amory. And I have, and I feel like that is a section of my life, a portion of my life that I feel really grounded in, really stable, really capable. And then there's other areas like being an entrepreneur on bringing this to more people at a bigger scale. Like, God, that's overwhelming to me. That's what I'm talking about working through stuff in my nervous system this morning is, can I create the space to share my truth and to know that it's going to reach people and resonate with people and it has value for people that are ready and want it? I'm not going to force it on anybody. If you're still listening, holy cow, thank you. And this is resonating with you because you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. Like, you know what's true for you. You know that you are working on these things. You know you desire a beautiful, loving, healthy relationship with yourself and partners, kids, coworkers, like, I don't know, society, community on a whole. We are all working on this, my friends. We are all in it. I have one point of consciousness. I have this voice. I have this energy in this body. I have this mind. I have these resources and the resources that flow in from other relationships and, you know, from the elements outside. I'm bringing all of this and creating a space of knowing that it is finding the right people. So if it is you, and you want more, please follow up with me. I just have a new coaching spot that opened up, so I can take one new three month coaching client. What does that mean? It means that you and I work weekly, like weekly. You show up for yourself, and in 3 months, you will have experienced transformation in at least one area of your life, if not more, because all of this is connected. So I am open for the person that feels like they're ready to take on themselves. I also have the container of the self-love group that has already technically started. I'm only keeping it open for this next, I will share this soon. So probably within a week, if you're listening to this, it's just being published now. So I have that container and then it closes and I won't open it up. I'm not opening up another group container until January. So I might have more space for one-on-one clients as the next couple months go. It depends on my travel schedule. So I'm here for you if you can say yes to yourself. I'm here for you as you travel down the road of open relating and as you step into your obstacles purposefully, empowered, saying, I'm choosing this. Not that you have to live with that every situation that you're being confronted with. You know, there might be some change ahead of you, but you are choosing what is and how you are right now, owning it and stepping into the work ahead of you. I'm excited for you. I really am. Ugh, I just know what's on the other side for you. I wish I could just like beam that to all of you listening, but that would be far too easy. Yeah. So I'm here for you. Hi. One last plug for the Costa Rica retreat. We have a stellar group of people already coming. We have the incredible Dr. Jolie Hamilton and her amazing container. She's like rock solid in the container that she creates for people. She has a special program that she walks people through for a year called the Year of Opening. And I cannot speak highly enough of her and her partner, Ken, who is also amazing, also in this work, such grounded energy. She and they will be leading workshops. I will be leading a lot of somatic practices and a lot of the self-love work. God, we get to do catamaran rides. You guys, last year we saw whales, humpback whales. What else? Breath work. Oof, that outside of psychedelics, transformational breath work is one of the most powerful modalities that I have found for this nervous system and actually cleaning out the nervous system and noticing the places where there's like next steps. Like I get little insights when I do major breath work like that. It's like, okay, Megan, this is your next step. This is your next step. This is your next step. So I've been listening to those. I'm ready for another round. Oh, what else? Being in Costa Rica, the elements, you guys, it doesn't get better than this. So if you are sitting on the edge, schedule a free 20-minute call with me. We can find out if this feels like it's right for you. And your no is fully acceptable. If we talk with anything, with a possible coaching agreement, I always talk and interview people first. You interview me. And I interview you and we see how our bodies feel together. Even though we're virtual, it has to be a yes, yes. There's all the room in the world for a no. I accept. If there's no room for no, there's no room for the yes. You know, it's a forced yes. I'm not all about that. I'm here for the hell yeah. So I really only want to be around the people that are like, hell yeah. That's it. That's it. That's what I'm available for. I'm available for the hell yeah. The hell yeah, I choose myself. Hell yeah, I choose a new relationship paradigm. Hell yeah, I choose the future of my dreams. Hell yeah, I choose the relationship with myself and the person I'm becoming. Let's do this. Feels so good to get this out. All right, I love you. I love you all. Thank you for listening. Till the next time.